Blog Talk Radio.
It's 2015. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who thought it would be a good idea to bring a dot matrix printer into the studio for a radio show. Here they are, Patch and Switch.
You know, I don't think there's an issue for me with the noise of the printer. The issue is that now I'm just going to be sitting here the whole show tearing off the sides of the paper all day.
I used to try to see how long I could get those sides, how many I could grab at once to be able to pull everything out.
You're trying to do it all in one tear.
Oh yeah, totally, man.
Like down the entire box.
The success that you can grab a half chunk of it and then rip it off and then try not to split the part where it joins to the other part.
Yeah.
And then do it again and then do it again and you can get the whole thing.
The whole box?
Like a whole
box of paper?
I'm sad to say that my children will never experience that joy of when you can tear off the sides of a dot matrix printer. That's just sad, you know? Very sad.
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy.
2015.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you.
And you as well. As well as our audience.
Yes.
They're filing into the chat room now.
I know. Nice and orderly, 2x2.
Yes. But apparently there has been a minor issue of people having to refresh the page if they were on early.
Refresh and, you know, the lovely nuances of Blog Talk Radio
yes.
to get things to work.
Just don't F-disk before. It'll work before. You don't have to do that.
I did do updates before the show on my laptop, on my Surface. So
the one that's running the show?
The one that's running the show right now.
Ah, so well,
we'll
so,
okay. It looks like it's fine.
MKE077 and Sposito, Jim XPEI dude. Jay Shock is here. Kyle Beckman is here. Bender is here.
Oh, wow.
TJZ, Vizio MVP, and so's guest 567, who needs to just log in.
So that is true. If you, in case you're not, are new to the show, because you never know, we might have some new people here.
We very could.
Some stuff. It's just a matter of going to blogtalkradio.com, hitting the sign-up button in the top right-hand corner.
Mm.
And then when you choose, they make you choose a subscription. You don't actually have to go and purchase a subscription. There is a free option.
Really?
That will allow you to build a profile, have a personality, and then be able to join us in the chat room, if you so please.
Ah, excellent.
And this is a call-in show, although we don't actually take calls.
Right.
So do I need to even mention it that we don't take calls?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Let's just move on. The main way that everyone interacts with us is during the chat room or even online on Twitter. I've noticed we have been getting some tweets. So throughout the week, in between shows, if you're bored, if you just want to reach out and say hi, you can actually tweet out to @PatchAndSwitch.
Yeah.
And either Patch or Switch will answer the tweet if we can figure out how to get multiple accounts configured on our Windows devices.
Or on any device.
You know, what's worse is when I start tweeting and realizing I'm tweeting with an account I shouldn't be tweeting with on a regular basis, because I have multiple accounts sometimes. So that's, yeah, you got to watch out for that.
We also are on Facebook.
We do, and I'm just curious. I wanted to check in with Facebook because supposedly we did do a poll that was created. Did you actually ever make the poll?
I thought you were making the poll.
It was your job to make the poll. You said you would do it. I'm the Twitter guy. You're the Facebook guy.
Oh.
Did we ever do the poll?
I will do the poll.
Okay, well, it's a good thing to start in 2015.
Listen, it's a resolution that we're actually going to do what we say on this show. It's one of the first New Year's resolutions for Patch and Switch.
And we've already broken it.
I know, right?
No, actually, no, we haven't said to do anything yet. So now we just did. So now we have to have a show up and have a poll posted. And just in case you are new to joining us, that poll was going to be about, what was it going to be about? It was about...
It's about the next generation shirt, sweatshirt, what all do you want?
People have been asking us about the next round of shirts. And so, hey, you know, these are things that we do that are completely zero cost They do cost, unfortunately, because we have zero budget is what I was going to say. And we set them specifically so that they have zero budget. that goes towards it, and zero profit that gets created. I think the amount of profit because of the rounding errors, I think, came down to under $1.380.
Yeah, so, I want to say it was 0.367, and then you've got the exchange rate, so who knows what that is.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a bust even. It's not a moneymaker.
The holiday time,
yeah,
which we have taken off, I was completely disconnected.
Totally.
I just jumped onto the Facebook page here. 2,013 likes.
I almost just choked on my coffee.
That's fantastic. So we've got to thank everybody for liking us on the Facebook. So
we're all giving
you
a virtual thumbs up right now.
Yeah.
Everybody in the studio is saying thumbs up. Thank you.
But it's facebook.com/patchandswitch.
Is our audio engineer on a conference call still, or has he actually joined us in the studio now?
I have no idea, but, you know, I've mentioned... Audio, he says audio is good.
Okay, good to know.
Right. So refresh your page if you don't have audio, but if you don't have audio, you can't hear this.
Yeah, MKE077 says that audio keeps on dropping out for him. I suggested that he pulls the string tighter.
Oh,
between the two cans.
Okay, yeah.
To be able to make sure that they've got better throughput. Because it's, you know, when the bits have to go around corners, they slow down.
They do?
They do.
Oh.
That's why you always want to have straight runs of your fiber.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. So, when we last left our heroes.
When we last talked last year.
Yeah, it was, gosh, it's been almost a month.
It's nuts, man.
I know, it's crazy. So welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining in. We were going to do New Year's cards. We said we weren't doing Christmas cards because we couldn't get them in the mail in time. And there's a bunch of people who have
actually
sent us their information and want a New Year's card.
They heard it on the show.
Yes.
Some of them post-show. They weren't even live. They listened to it in the recorded format.
Yeah.
And they actually mailed us an email with information.
Now, we did actually sit down during the holidays.
Yes.
And we wrote out thank you cards. There's one thing here, and I don't know what it's like up there in Canada, but here you actually have to affix postage. You have to pay. You can't just stick it in the mailbox and expect them to go somewhere.
Well, I decided to bypass the mailbox, and I just went straight to the local deer because I couldn't find a moose, so I was going to go slow.
Yeah, so I have this stack of things that are returned. You must affix postage. You
They have hoof marks on them, I'm sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
Shall we do a shout out to people to say that it's
in
the mail?
Yeah, do it. Well, they were in the mail. They've come back. So I'll fix postage this time and we'll send it again.
I thought I charged them to the cost center. I don't know. Mike Judd mentioned it and said hello. He's from Georgia. We have Martin Jernberg from Sweden. We have Krista Lacey from Calgary, Alberta in Canada. Peter Gray living up there in the WI. What is that? Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. That's where Bender is as well.
Don in MD from...
That would be Maryland.
Maryland. I was going to say Minnesota, but that's not right. Who is Josh Waters from Indiana. I think it's Indiana. I-N? Indiana?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. John Alas from Pasadena, PA? What is it? Bethel. Bethel Park, PA. What is PA?
Pennsylvania.
And then K.O. Beckman from Georgia as well. There you go. I got them all.
We are off to a blazing start.
Switch will not be able to pass his citizenship test to be able to become an American citizen if he thinks Pasadena is a state.
MKE says, sigh, Canadians. And Spazito says, you hoser.
Hey, but do you guys know where Guelph is? You know, like,
probably not. It's probably north of here.
The 49th.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you are interested, there is still time because we're going to do our second mailing. You can email us at patchandswitch@outlook.com with your snail mail address to say hello, and we'll, shove some overdue bills into the letters as we send them out because we don't want to have any bills at all.
Okay.
That's our mail segment.
All right.
From the mailbag.
From the mailbag. Let's see.
Screen just died.
Yeah.
What happened?
What's up with that? I don't know.
Did you just kill something?
Yeah. Well, I don't have power. That's probably the issue here.
If you plug the power in, it works better. It's back again.
It is plugged in.
It's back again.
Well, I know, but All right. Yeah, back again. You keep
so
on that.
For the traditional way that we do handle the show, now that we're back with our first episode, we do want to stay on track and on schedule.
Mm.
We have our first segment of the show, which is known as From the Trenches. In 2015, we were supposed to get budget for some actual audio files that are new ones. We still have not managed to locate. There you go. You got power now.
All right.
We have not managed to locate the said cost center. So we do not have an audio clip to be able to play for the soundboard for From the Trenches.
Well, we'll figure it out.
We will get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hmm.
Angry John, don't lick the glue on Mickey Mouse stickers. Going back to the whole mailing,
nice.
Stamping thing.
Nice.
So From the Trenches, man, goodness, it's been, there's. Have you done a lot of things in the trench work? Have you been doing some day-to-day technology support work, those kinds of things?
I am just finishing.
Since you returned?
You know, I'm just finishing up deploying and documenting my Linux host up in Azure to be able to support regularitguy.com.
Oh, hang on. Patrick asked what was the mail address. Send us an email to patchandswitchatoutlook.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, continuing on.
That was email. So, yeah, I'm almost done doing that one there. Which is good to be able to go because regularitguy.com currently runs as an Azure website and is using the free database option that you can use as a service. However, if actually people go to the site and I get more than three people at once hitting the site, it can possibly get overloaded because it makes too many calls to MySQL and just dies. So I've... Apparently, I'm writing
stuff. That's a really big database, dude.
Apparently, sometimes I'm writing stuff that people actually want to read on regularitguy.com, I need to be able to provide a better level of service, so I need to upgrade my subscription.
MKE077 says he's been on call all week.
On call?
Yes.
You know what? I was just thinking about this. Our audio engineer was talking about when the days when he used to carry a pager and stuff.
Yes.
I think, you know, I am over... I'd have to say probably over 15 years pager free.
I am.
What do you think? It's been about, it's about 15 years pager free.
I'm about 9 years.
Yeah.
9 years pager free. That's.
But do people still carry pagers anymore?
Well, honestly? I think it's all now in the cell phone world. But actually, yes, there are still people who use pagers. I've seen them. I don't know what they're using them for.
Do they also have the big rotary dial telephones?
Maybe.
In their house or something, or what?
I
guess technically you have better reception in bad areas, use them inside buildings. And you know, the TV shows like you know Grey's Anatomy, they always have pagers that they use. So it must be true, right?
Yeah.
It has to be true.
Kyle Beckman says if you're running WordPress for your website, there's caching plugins you can use that fix your database load problems. But so, you already have those running and you're still running into database problems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good point. I'm working on it.
MKE077, even funnier, we have people on this team who have no idea what a pager is.
Nice. Those generational people, right? They're like what else? Dot matrix printers, pagers, what else? Do you remember when everyone used to have laser printers on their desks? Everyone?
Yeah.
And it was like a status symbol that they owe the one.
Yes. Oh, there were battles because we were literally so close to writing a policy that states you must be at this level or above in order to have a personal printer. And then we had to manage those things.
Oh, totally.
And half of them were like, my stuff is so confidential, it can't even be on a server. We can't even say it must be able to be directly connected to my thing. And I'm like, what are you printing? Email?
Yeah, which is already on a server.
Right. Email,
or else you know those other documents that they're working on. Where are they? They're on my local machine on my C drive.
You know, we actually had floppy disks that were
documents
floppy,
or something like that.
As Mr. Beckman says, floppy disks that were actually floppy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Did you notice that there's actually some people even here at Microsoft that have printers on their desk?
Whoa, hang on, Angry John. We have about 1.5 printers per staff member.
Wow.
Ah.
1.5 printers. That's like 2.5 kids. How do you have 0.5 of a printer?
Mr. Beckman, laser printers as big as a smart car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, remember the old
printer,
the HP LaserJet network cards that were so much fun to configure.
I still have one of those.
Oh, do you really?
Yes, because I have an old printer.
Do you have it? Is it the one that's actually in the device,
slot,
or is it the one on the side?
You have to add.
Yeah.
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Now they also had the little LaserJet modules you could keep on the side, yeah, for some of the cheaper versions that we tried once, and they didn't work. So right, we always got the same version of the printer.
I still haven't managed to fire it up to see if it supports NetBUI, but I would try it out.
Does your network support NetBUI? goodness.
Oh, the days. So yeah, lovely days up in the Azure world working with Linux and having some fun with that.
I've been
cleaning up the lab environments because we had to unfortunately return some hardware. It's a sad day. I had to box up.
Yeah, we talked about that on the last show.
I had to box up the CIB and return it.
I've been, speaking of cleaning up, one of my New Year's resolutions is to get a handle on the amount of data that I'm storing, because it seems that
data,
well, particularly music, and well, granted.
Isn't there a service for that?
There's service to buy the music, but then of course you're downloading it. When you're downloading it, you're storing it. And given that right now with the radio show that I do every week, I'm pulling down, I don't know, probably on average a 10 to 15 tracks every week that are new. So I needed to make room. And I was also going through and trying to get a handle on the stuff that when I do the shows at the events or other clubs, some of the music there, and because last time I played when we were over in Barcelona, I was just, oh, I know I have this song, where is it? And trying to search for it, trying to find it, make sure that it was on the USB drive and everything else. And I started the project. The project is not just cleaning up, it's also making sure that the tags are done correctly and that you're properly
stored.
Yeah. So what I did is actually attached the one main external drive that I have been using, where I just kind of, after it's downloaded, it just gets chunked onto that drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through and retagging everything. I've done over 2,800 files as of now, retagging and everything. That doesn't include actually going in, making sure I want to keep the track, everything else. So I'm in the middle of a purge. That's what I'm doing every night as I sit at home, attached to a 1 terabyte drive, going through and retagging everything. Then I'm going to go through and listen to it, decide if I'm going to keep it, and then I'm going to, then because I retagged everything, it all has to be reprocessed through the software so I can use it.
So you're storing this on an external drive inside your house.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets downloaded and gets saved that in one individual drive, and all your other sources are being merged onto this one drive, kind of thing.
Eventually. Once everything's all
then you can decide
in order and everything, then I'll back up that drive and then post it. Probably.
Where are you going to put it?
So like some cloud type storage stuff. But I really have, 2,800 files, Joey, you've got a problem. and a lot of it is just stuff that I'll listen to, once if, I'm on a site and I'll buy it, or if it's, somebody's sent it to me as a promo or something. And it just gets, I'll play this. And then I never see it again. And I go, didn't I have this song? So I think the next project that'll be interesting is going in and running some dedupe and actually seeing many duplicates of stuff that I have, because I'm guessing, I know for a fact that I bought several tracks several times.
Oh, yeah.
And not on purpose. It's like, oh, this sounds good. And then, of course, I go there, oh, I had that months ago. But anyway, J-Shock has found an unopened spindle of 100 CDR discs. I can actually probably still use those. I was burning on to CDs up until, probably 18 months ago, because I was still traveling on CDs.
My next door neighbor swears by burning all the photos that she has for different sessions on individual CDs. And she has stacks and stacks and stacks of CDs to be able to handle the load of all the stuff and all the pictures and all the memories. And like more than likely, she'd have maybe 50 pictures on one CD, and that would be what's on the CD.
That doesn't even fill a CD.
I know, totally. But it would be, this is the camping event from blah, blah, blah. And that would be the second photo album for her. And I'm like, there's this cloud service you can use, right? Make them available to people instead of locking them away.
Sharing?
Yeah, you could possibly share those.
What is this technology you speak of?
This
is not the cloud you're looking for.
Yes.
And then, you know, apart from that, I have been doing some support for people who come by and randomly ask, you know, hey, this isn't working. Can you come take a look at it? And I did actually spec out a...
Work-related.
Yes, work-related.
So that's not beer money.
No, that's not beer money. I did actually spec out...
I've been getting increased numbers of those, too. Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, I ended up having to go in. My admin came down the hall and asked me to help her spec out a computer, a desktop computer for somebody.
Oh, yeah?
So that was fun. Particularly because, you know me, I'm like, oh, no, that's not enough RAM. You need at least... Wait, hang on. What are they doing? Yeah, okay, you can scale the RAM back. And trying to find the right model and the right configuration. Because you want to boot to SSD. I mean, that's just kind of the norm now with the newer devices. But then you also want to have additional storage. And sometimes if you put the wrong configuration in there, you can only put 160 gig or 250 gig SSDs in it. You can't actually put a spindle drive in.
Yeah.
Or then there's our hybrid drives. There's lots of decisions. So I did that. I've been working on that. That's my beer money. That's all I've done. Because we've only been back a couple of weeks now. So
no, that's your From the Trenches. We haven't done beer
my
money
From
yet.
The Trenches. We haven't done beer money yet, but hang on. We'll let me grab this opener here.
Got that?
Hand me that glass.
Yeah, here.
Ah. Not too early to start, is it?
No, we can start anytime.
Okay.
For me, the one thing is kind of From the Trenches, but more so beer money, was you mentioned specking out PCs. A friend of ours was looking to basically build themselves a lab environment of multiple boxes that support Hyper-V. And... you know, he traditionally has 7 or 8 full-size old desktop systems. He calls the Tower of Power that is stacked up inside of his office. And you and I were talking about downsizing and going with the Nook device. The NUC.
Yeah.
The Nook from Intel. Because it's an i5. It's is able to support 16 gig of RAM. And, you know, it's the size of like a hockey puck kind of thing.
Yeah, not much bigger than a hockey puck, right?
So he could get like 5 of those things, relatively cheap, have enough RAM for demo purposes, for a little mini lab kind of thing, and then be able to have 5 of them all hooked up because they have a wireless, they have both wireless and wired adapters, and to be able to have like a little virtual network to be able to do a whole bunch of stuff with. So he was getting that specced up. But from a beer money perspective, one of the Christmas gifts that I actually got my significant other, which I still have not implemented as of yet, is an SSD for her Acer laptop.
So you've already replaced one hard drive in the main system
that's
in
for
the
kitchen
room,
system.
Right?
Yeah. So the kitchen system, the all-in-one device, that one there has already been replaced. And the kids are using it now because it's faster. So I took out the old 5400 RPM 500 gig drive and put in a nice fast SSD drive. And it's just smoking fast now. And then my wife saw how good that one was, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's a good Christmas gift. That's techie and, you know, it's not the same thing as, like, buying a blender or something like that.
Right.
It's only one step up, I think.
Yeah.
So I bought her an SSD for speed for her laptop, and I still haven't managed to put it in yet. I need to get all my jeweler's screwdrivers out to open up the hard-to-open case.
Yes.
And be able to figure out how to do it. And I've got a... You know, I'm debating on imaging the drive or just redeploying brand new and moving data over and that sort of stuff. So that's kind of
the standard thing that we do nowadays, you know, right? When you're replacing a drive.
Imaging would be so much easier because it's a one-off, able to do it.
Yeah.
And then as opposed to build from scratch, throw the OS.
I know, but like the IT guy inside you just screams because you just want to build fresh and everything.
Yeah.
But then it screams again because you don't want
to
spend the time to go and try
to
find all the stuff. Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. I've been doing a little beer money support, and it's mostly just kind of, hey, we got to clean, again, similar things to what I'm doing in terms of cleaning up my music collection. It's cleaning up this machine. It's cleaning up that machine. You know, it's amazing the Surfi devices that are around the house, how much crap the kids have been saving onto them, and they wonder why it has 1 meg of storage left. It's like don't need to make videos with the Surface
and just
save it to the Surface.
I know. That's what I was just about to say. My kids are doing that too. They're like recording little mini TV shows.
Yes. Yes. And then editing them and everything. I mean, I think it's great. It's fantastic that they're, you know, learning this stuff and that they can actually do that. But
put it in the cloud.
Yes. Or on the drive that's attached to the network, right? Store your stuff here. So some of those may have been deleted on accident because I didn't know what they were. Anyway, I'm such a great parent.
And then, you know, the surface is like chunking so hard because it has no drive space.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it just dies, man.
And then, you know, updates. I mean, that's what kind of spawned this issue is that I was trying to do updates. You can't really do updates when there's no space.
That would help.
Absolutely. Am I keeping you awake here, buddy,
Hey, man, I had to – this is more like beer talk I was going to transition into, but I'm going to wait on that. I'm sorry. I'm done my shake after the gym, and I'm just about to finish my coffee right now, so
yeah.
I'm getting there.
Do we want to do beer talk, or do we want to do random spending?
Well, I'm trying to think if I had any more beer money-type episodes that we had over, like, it was Christmas. This is the busiest time for beer talk. Or for blah, 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 beer money.
Yeah, because that's when you're doing all the support for your friends, neighbor's friends, cousins, aunts, third cousin on the parent's side. I didn't have a whole heck of a lot of... I mean, it was mostly just kind of, hey, will you pick up some software for me? Or can you?
I'm thinking that's about the same as I had. It was a very light season this year.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, it may have been that we stayed here and didn't really travel and
could be.
You know, go... Often out and about to check things out.
I mean I did have to do some troubleshooting with the Skypes.
Oh.
Because obviously I'm Skyping back to my brother and sisters and grandmas and grandpas back in Canada, back in the East Coast side of things. So.
Oh, Patrick's on call phone is ringing, so he had to take off. Sorry, Patrick. That sucks, man.
Just ask them if they've rebooted the computer recently.
Yeah.
And it should be fine.
Is the power on?
I'll charge you $250 for that.
J-Shock is building a Wimboot image for his Insignia Flex 8. He pinged me about that earlier, basically wanting me to do it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I told him no.
I'm intrigued because, I don't know if you guys know this, but our audio engineer, J-Shock, actually runs his systems... off of a Windows to Go stick. And I've been intrigued that maybe I should get off my butt and actually... Because I have a couple of...
Exactly. It was cool, and this is probably a good transition because we can go in right transition into beer talk because we were brewing.
Right.
And he was there, and I guess he was on call.
He was... we are not able to divulge all the details, but he was on a conference call relating to some issues that were going on at work. Because he works for MSIT and had to resolve a number of things. So he was not able to actively participate as much as he normally would. And let's just say that when he did participate, he was stirring very vigorously.
Yeah, kind of like, just let it go. Let it go, J-Shock, let it go. But it was cool because now we've significantly upgraded the beer laboratory, the brewing facility. There's a couch out there, a TV. Actually, the TV has just been upgraded
to
a bigger version.
We did a TV upgrade, yes.
Yes.
A TV upgrade happened in time for the game. We now have we had to move some shelving around. We had to lower the fridge to be able to make it fit on top of the fridge, and we now have a nice 42-incher up there.
Yes. But J-Shock was sitting on the couch connected to the networking in the Beer Team 6 facility.
Yep.
And... He did. He had the Windows to Go stick, and I'm like, "You're running Windows to Go." No, I mean, I'm so used to just my machines are all
now
joined to the domain.
The Go
and everything,
stick
but.
Is the corporate image, and his Surfi or device of question is the personal image. So when he's doing work, he uses the to Go stick, and when he's not doing work, he just has his own device he's using.
Well, now when he was asking me earlier about the Wimboot thing, he's still running Windows. Is your Go stick 10 preview or no? So use your to Go stick to put all the tools on to build the Wimboot. Because you were talking, you don't want to mess up your nice pristine image on your Surface. You've got a USB to Go stick. He doesn't want to mess up the Windows to Go stick.
Okay, I got it.
Go build a VM.
I got it.
All right. But anyway, it was really super cool because again, he's got this nice clean image on his Surfi, and
right.
He just uses it to go. I should consider doing that. But all my devices are corp-owned anyway, so they might as well be connected up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, see, like for the Surfi that I'm using right now, I use that when I'm at conferences and on shows on Channel 9, so I don't have a corporate image on there because I don't want to have stuff on there that people should not see.
Apparently MKE077 is talking a bunch of crap, saying you'll need a much bigger TV to witness the arse kicking that will be laid down on your lads by the Packers of Green Bay this Sunday.
Okay, see, now we got a problem.
See, here it begins. Here it begins. You know,
Who is that? Was that KO?
No, it's MKE077. That's Peter.
Which one? What's his handle?
MKE077. I've said it six times. Will you listen?
I'm looking for him in the chat room so I can kick him.
Hey, no, don't do this. Let's be nice.
I won't do it.
Yes, Sean Lowe, you really do need to play with Windows to Go. It's absolutely fantastic. I built several Windows to Go sticks.
I mean, you can build them. You can build them with USB 2, but you have to run them off of USB 3. No, so you have to build them off of USB 3, but you can run them off of 2. I always forget that.
Yes, you've got it right. The second part. Yeah, build it on 3. Use it on 2.
It won't allow you to build it unless it has a USB 3 device to do the initial build. But then after that, you can run it on whatever type of bootable USB device you have. I happen to have a 128 gig stick that's just sitting there in my office that I'm using.
Is it the one that self-destructs?
No, I don't have the self-destruct one because they're not allowed to sell those outside of the government
or
law enforcement agencies. And I don't think you'd want to have me with an explosive charge. Not a good idea. But on the beer side, I was doing work last night because...
Beer work?
Beer work last night for Beer Team 6 stuff. And my Anchor Steam clone was ready. It was lagering. It was done. And then it now was being raised up to room temperature to do its appropriate rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done. And I did a measurement. And the weird thing was, it actually measured lower than I thought was even possible to lower. So I think I need to recalibrate my specific gravity hygrometer measurement. Because you're supposed to, for those of you that make beer or don't make beer, the SG measurer, the hygrometer, basically tells you how much sugar is inside the water or the wort to be able to have potential alcohol determined. And you start off with a high number, like a 10.056, and
right.
you end up with a 10.010 or something like that.
Right.
Mine was registering below that.
But below than 10.10?
I think my hygrometer's whacked. Or maybe
again?
I think I might have dropped it or something. It's not
how many hydrometers have you purchased?
I don't want to talk about it, but let's just say it's done. And so I had to move it off of the yeast and then into a secondary to get it ready for lagering. And
so have you decided you are going to lager it?
Yeah, I'm going to lager it.
Okay.
Chuck, our friend, also on Beer Team 6, is going to be making his fridge available for lagering.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say, because my beer also needs to lager. The thought was you were not going to lager yours.
I was
going to
lager one of them and then leave one not lagered. But now, since the availability is there, I'm going to lager them both. So I was doing that last night. And I actually woke up late this morning because my Windows Phone device received an update last night. And
so you've opted into the automatically update.
I've got
everything.
Automatic update at 3 a.m. But it did the automatic update at 3 a.m., but it was sitting in a success, the upgrade worked screen, which for some reason overrides the alarm that you set. So my phone wakes me up in the morning.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit late this morning, but I made it.
Okay. I haven't updated yet. It's pending. Yeah. I do the manual update thing. But okay. Anyway, there's a lot of trash talking going on in the chat room on the footballs. Settle down, everybody. We're not having to revoke anybody's citizenship. It's okay. I mean, come on, you're talking to a Texan boy in Seattle. I'm really so impartial. I just don't care.
No,
I do care. I like to watch the game.
Jay Chalk's talking about the Iron Key versions.
So MKE077 said security laid down the law about using non-corporate image devices to use the VPN. Wants to get his team spun up on Windows to Go so that he can flip them the bird.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like the networking and support teams and the security teams getting along. I see that nothing has changed in IT.
Yeah, the Iron Key is my personal favorite one. I will mention that the Iron Keys, the one that JSOC's mentioning that has a special pre-boot, is only if you're using the W500 and W700 versions, the secure versions.
Yeah.
You don't need to have them for the W300, in case you're wondering about part numbers.
Okay.
So I've got a larger... A larger, lower number version that allows me to have a good sized hard drive.
I've got several varieties.
I find the Iron Keys don't overheat as much as the data keys from Kingston. Kingston overheats a lot.
Plus, yeah. I've never had an issue with the overheating
the
on that.
The fit and finish of the iron key also.
Oh, well, for sure. It does.
Engineering, it's a beautiful single stick that's been infused with epoxy, whereas the Data Traveler one is kind of more bulky and plasticky. And
see, I didn't get three versions of the iron key like
it.
You did.
Well, I didn't even get, like, I managed to negotiate getting some for some other colleagues of mine.
Yeah.
And they got beautiful, the metal ones, which are the secure ones. That were gorgeous. I didn't get one of those. Right. I got the black one.
It's all good. It's all good. So, also in the beer world, we had a man weekend.
Oh, yeah.
A man day.
It was
Saturday.
Good. We needed it.
Started at 8 a.m.
8 a.m. start time for the starting of the water.
I think that by the time we got coffee and got started, it was probably like 8:15,
yep.
8:20. But, you know, I was there at 8 a.m. So we did a 10-gallon batch of a Moose Drool clone that we fired up. And in that process, because for a while now we've been like, oh, we need to get more consistent. We need to actually figure out how much water we're losing, et cetera, et cetera. We actually did pay attention this time because we were doing a secondary brew a couple of hours later, another 10-gallon batch. So Saturday we started at 8 a.m. I think we finished probably around... Oh, it was late because there was also the footballs were on.
And it's also the smoked meat that was on.
Oh, yes, that's right, because we did a pork.
Pulled pork,
you
yeah.
did. You did the pork, which was, it did turn out very, very
bad.
Good. Yeah,
I was impressed by it.
And so we started, we did the Moose Drool clone. I haven't heard any updates as to how that one's doing.
He said it exploded.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Like, you know, like the yeast just went crazy.
Well, and that came in a little higher, I think, than we originally expected in terms of the sugars.
He basically, the blow-off tubes were clogged to the point as the amount of activity that they had. And, so he's Mr. OCD had to go and clean his fridge a bit. but he said he could not be happier with the results so far. He's going to be rocking it probably this weekend.
Now, and then I did a Shinerbach clone.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about this one is I spent a ton of time researching recipes.
You obsessing about something?
I know, shocker,
never,
right?
Never.
You know, kind of like the car stereo thing, to the point I obsess so I can't do anything. Finally installed one, by the way. For those at home who are listening going, did he ever install the stereo in his truck? Yes, I did. I got one. So we did the Shinerbach. And at the same time, another member of Beer Team 6 had already finished one. He was using rice hulls. There's another recipe that calls for using corn maize, or you can use grits in a cereal mash. I was super happy with how that guy came off. So what's interesting is we actually tracked how much water loss there was.
Yep.
So that we know, okay, this temperature-wise, and we were right in the 40s to 50s outside in the garage. And then the cool thing is that we actually now have a device to maintain temperature.
Yes.
That has been loaned to us from another member of the Beer Team 6. And we literally kept that during the mash phase where we're running the water through the grains, dead on, same temperature the whole time.
And it was a 90-minute
And that was a 90-minute mash, yeah.
That was gorgeous.
And then a 90-minute boil, which was fantastic.
That it was an electronic Herms device.
Yes.
That was built from parts that included a hot water heater elements and stainless steel tubing, pump machines and thermometer and temperature controls. It was a great little device. So I'm very happy with the way that turned out.
And then J-Shock has his Scotch Ale, which is being bourbon barrel aged. We did a test of that one. A taste test, yes.
Still was going to have some more. It still needed to stay in the barrel, we all decided. And ultimately, J-Shock decided it's going to stay in the barrel for one more week.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to a test, possibly on Sunday. I don't know if he's going to be around for the test or not. I think...
He's like, I'm going tomorrow.
We need to test it out to see how much the oakiness has come out of the barrel and put into the Scotch Ale.
Because it's definitely got the good Scotch Ale flavor. It also has the good Scotch flavor from being in the bourbon flavor from being in the barrel.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see the oakiness. It's still a little sweet, but I think that's going to rest over time. Mm-hmm. I think as some of the other flavors come through and it gets a chance just to chill. I think this guy's got to chill a little bit. I'm looking forward to getting a measurement off of mine to see where we are, because you did mention the Krausen has fallen. So it looked good there at the top. It was looking good there, the Shinerbach clone. So we've got a lot of beer coming. Unfortunately, half of it we don't get to drink ourselves. because we're entering in the competition again.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing. We're in the midst of brewing for the competition. So we're really almost out of beer. I think we're drinking the final 5 gallons of the Summer Blueberry.
Summer Blueberry is
almost
gone.
There's no clogger.
Clogger's gone.
The Trappel has to be close to being gone, given
the
amount I've been drinking
it.
Yeah.
We've been pounding that one. So.
Yeah, we're running out of beer.
So we're going to have to actually make another batch to be able to drink as opposed to competition.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm liking the Anchor Steam clone right now that I've made. I might actually go ahead and make another one. But ultimately, I'm holding out to see if I'm going to be able to successfully get a clone recipe for Steam Whistle Pilsner from Toronto.
Yeah, so apparently you've made some connections with somebody who has some connections with a cousin's aunt's brother.
Who might possibly know a recipe that we could use.
Okay.
And we're just waiting to hear back from them.
Okay, excellent.
So they on their site, they do talk about the ingredients they use, but obviously there's no proportions, there's no idea on yeast strain. So either way.
And then I went down to Portlandia a couple of weeks ago. To visit a former member of Beer Team 6, who is now part of the Beer Team 6 Southern Extension. And he was, I was trying a lot of these.
I think they call BB5 or BB3 or something like that.
Is it? Okay.
BB3.
I don't know what it is.
Brothers Brewing 3.
Okay. Well, there it is. But they're still, you know, it's the Southern campus of Beer Team 6. And I was trying a lot of these Oregonian craft beer. They like their hops down there.
Yeah.
They really like their hops.
I'm not a hop guy, man.
I'm not either, but I did try a citrus IPA. And basically what it was, I was worried because of you look at the IBU on the thing, and I'm just like, ooh. But what it is they're using the citrus hops. So it basically tastes like, I would liken it similar to like if somebody took a Blue Moon and put the orange in or the citrus in the side.
Oh, yeah.
But the citrus doesn't come from any citrus being added to the beer. It comes from the citrus hops. So, let's see. Sean Lowe, any suggestions what I should check out when I go to Portland next weekend? Everything. Deschutes is a great brewery. That's who made this one. There's another one that made a killer stout. I've got to figure out what it was. I think I logged the stout in my Untappd.
Yep.
So I'll take a look there. If you follow me on Untappd, you'll see some of the beers that I was trying in Oregon. I didn't really have a bad one. Oh, Kings, it's King something. Three Kings, King something or other. It's a double red. Oh, mercy. And I think actually we are talking about doing another run of the coffee porter, just a 5 gallon batch to enter into the competition is something different because I am going to put the Shinerbach clone in. But I'm thinking I want to do a double red. You had such great success with your red that you did. I'm thinking I'd love to try a double red because this thing was amazing. I'll have to double check my Untappd of what we've got there. But there's just a ton of great breweries, a ton of great craft places that you can go check out. Craft breweries that have restaurants that some of them have like pop-in chefs that come in and do. Like a quick pop-up restaurant. They're only open on the weekend. So, and I see J-Shock is in there offering up things for Sean Lowe as well.
You know,
he's going to be here the week. Maybe
does anyone make a beer truck as opposed to a food truck?
I actually did just see that somebody is actually doing a beer truck for the first time here. Well, it's the legal aspect.
Nice. You have to worry about the law when you got alcohol?
Yes. In the States, yes. But there's some others throughout I've seen popping up around the country as well. That's a great idea. Just going around doing.
If I could come up with a portable liquor license
mm-hmm.
that you could have a defined area with stanchions or something like that. What are those things?
Stanchions.
Those
to keep people
movie theater line thingies.
Velvet ropes.
Velvet ropes.
Yeah.
See, normally I'm on the other side of the velvet rope.
Can I just get in and have a beer?
Can I please get in?
Yeah.
So, who?
You don't know how many times I've had to say that. To get in anywhere. I'm with the DJ. And have that defined and set up, and then basically, you know, check ID and stuff like that. You could probably work something out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Although the transport of the various beer would be difficult to keep it in a non-over-carbonated fashion because you're moving the thing around all the time.
Well, I wonder if you disconnect from... Well, no, it's still going to be...
Still going to be...
Because that's one of the issues that we have at the competition is that early in the night, the beer can be a little bit out of hand because first we transport it from here down to where we do the tasting and we put things in order from lightest to darkest, strongest to... Or lightest to strongest in terms of flavor.
Yeah.
So things get a little out of hand and shaken up there. And then it's transported from there to the site of the competition. So things get even more shaken up and everything there. So... Vizio MVP says beer trucks, there are loads here. That doesn't count just the people transporting beer in the back of their truck. Just saying. Let's see. Mobcraft is looking for... Where Beer Team 6 is looking for an angel.
Oh, always.
I'm not going to promote somebody else who's looking for an investor when Beer Team 6 is looking for an angel investor who just wants to give us money to beer.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a way to write off bad debt, we're your passion.
Because if you're looking for somebody, we are professionals at bad debt.
If you're looking for somebody that will take your money and lose it just so you have a write-off,
well,
we are the ones that
can
do that
for you. And we won't be flushing it. I mean, there'll be something to come out of it. It's just...
We'll make you beer.
Yes.
As much as you want.
And whatever whatever beer you want, as long as we can figure out the recipe, which we can't. We've done well. We've actually, and we should probably give an update. I know we're running a little low on time. We still have 15 minutes left of the show. We should give an update to the people at home who have lived through the saga that is the beer sickle. So we did, just to bring people up to speed, if you missed the show, one of the fridges that does
I'm
the
sorry, we're out of time. We can't cover this right now.
The fridge that had the fermentation, the thermometer was accidentally left outside.
Of the fridge.
So it kept working and working and working to cool it because it obviously insulated, heated, cooled fermentation chamber. Basically just went full blast, cold.
Do you know what the temperature
freezer.
Was?
I don't know what the temperature was inside of it.
Minus 20.
Centigrade? Fahrenheit.
Centigrade. Minus 20 centigrade. That's what the end temperature
Which
was.
Which is what in Fahrenheit? Like
really effing cold.
Yeah. So we froze the beer into beer sickle. Now, the beer sickle beer was also an experiment in terms of yeasts that were used. One was brought from Spain. Another one was, let's just throw this in here and see if it works. And then we thawed and kegged and filtered and everything else. So, by the way, we did part of random spending, which we haven't even done yet. We need to do random spending, was a filter. Anyway, I'll quickly tell. So, beer sickle, we thawed it, we kegged it, we let it sit, and we tried it. We made gallons upon gallons upon gallons of beer, probably easily a couple hundred gallons of beer, and never had a bad beer.
Yeah, this is our first bad beer experiment. We had a second one. Not
it, unless you're looking for a beer that tastes like butterscotch, and not in a good way.
No, I don't think I'd want to see what happens to the body if you consume too much of that. So that was our beer-sickle incident.
It might look like the first batch of your steam whistle clone.
Yes, the steam whistle clone first batch.
Which had a viscosity that makes even the thickest of motor oils jealous. Okay.
Let's just say when we dropped the hygrometer into the beaker, it did not go inside the sludge. It stayed on top.
Yes. So, okay. We've spent more time talking about beer than IT on this show.
I know. There we go.
All right.
So
let's switch gears. Random spending. Well, the holiday season is all about buying stuff. And if it's not for buying stuff that you're going to give, usually it's because you've been gifted gift cards and so on and other things. So what did either Santa bring you or did you go purchase post holidays in terms of your random geek spending?
Well, for me, it was obviously I gifted the SSD drive to my wife. That's an easy one that I did for random spending just recently. And then for me, it's been trying to wind stuff down. I've been buying beer equipment and beer type stuff. So for me, I've actually had a relatively light day because I focus on stuff for the kids.
Sorry. I just read in the chat room, Kyle Beckman says, Patch and Switch are amateur tax preparers. Do not take their tax advice.
Oh, nice.
That is correct. Yes, you don't want to take our advice, yes. But we'll take your money to give you the tax advice.
Right. And same thing with legal counsel.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but we'll still take your money.
Don't do it.
Okay. Anyway.
For me, it was actually a very light month. Because traditionally what I do is I get out of the way of my chief financial officer who decides that she wants to go and to do the organizing of most of the gifts for people. And I just let her go. And yeah. She's the one that does all the random spending.
So,
but a fruit device showed up in my house.
Oh, it did?
As a result. So
of a laptop variety?
No. Of a mini.
Oh, tablet?
Mini iPad.
Yeah.
A mini fruit device arrived.
Yeah.
Not for me.
No.
Not for my wife.
No?
It's for being used by one of the kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a good deal. It was a used one she found.
Yeah.
And basically wasn't used because the person was gifted it and already had one and did not want a second one and had a really good price on it.
Sean Lowe says he bought into Loot Crate and purchased way too many new board games.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kicking myself for not getting in on cards? Cards Against Humanity Holiday Edition. I'm kind of kicking myself. Maybe I can find that still.
Does
on their
downloadable
website,
content count for beer random spending?
Yes.
Because obviously downloadable content for games.
You get some games
over the holidays.
Yeah. I've purchased way too many USB thumb drives.
Seriously?
But the thing is I ordered
USB thumb drive?
I do because I want high capacity USB 3 thumb drives that I can use for DJing because that's what the music is stored on. And with the new clean out, I want to keep one with, one type of music, one with another type of music, so on and so forth. And then, of course, you can't just have one. You have to have a backup for that. One particular vendor had an amazing deal on some 64 gigabyte USB thumb drives, to which I bought, I believe, 8 of them.
Holy crap.
And the next day they canceled the order.
Why?
I don't know. Price mistake. They said in the email that it was so popular that we ran out of stock faster than we thought. I bought these probably 4 or 5 minutes after it went up on the website before any of these deal websites picked up on it. I have a feeling they just went, we probably shouldn't give these out for $6.58 a piece.
Oopsie.
Yeah, oopsie. So I got a couple of 64 gig USB 3 thumb drives, and they're the little tiny low profile ones. Which are great because when you're DJing, you don't want somebody going up, "What's this in there?" and they pull it out and the music dies. And then the new stereo in the car, new Sirius XM tuner.
It's all now working?
It's all now working, functional.
It's all in there? Did you buy your oscilloscope to be able to get the proper
tuning? No, I'm not buying an oscilloscope. I'm hoping Dad will bring it up when he comes up to visit so that I can properly tune the stereo in the truck with an oscilloscope. Yes, I'm a geek.
That's just hilarious.
It is. Well, what it is that if you use a proper initial sound, right, so that there are sounds
test
you can use, test patterns, right? And you tune the stereo so that the test pattern plays and looks on an oscilloscope like it should look if you were to open up the test pattern in any, wave format so you can see what it looks like.
Yeah.
At any rate, yeah. So you can actually tune the system that well.
Coolest gifts in your household that your kids, that not you receive, but your kids have really enjoyed, what would you say?
Oh, man.
If it's one thing that they still haven't put down yet, they're still using.
Well, for the youngest, it's her doll.
Doll.
Yes.
Nice.
American Girl doll.
Yeah, yeah.
Which she actually purchased with gift cards. And then
nice.
She actually worked
herself.
Her tail off.
Nice.
Because I'm not buying those again. And then there's, all the subscription cards for all their little random, to buy a subscription for the game.
I would have thought it would have been the cans.
Minecraft stuff. The headphones. The headphones are, you're right. For the oldest, her headphones. I posted on my page the new update that I got for my V-Modus.
Those look very nice.
We did get her, Santa got her a version of the V-Modus. And she actually used some of her gift cards to purchase the little laser engraved customizable shields on the side. So mine, if you go to my website, you'll see that. It's it says DJ Joey Snow. Hers have her name on them. They're a aqua blue. Her headphones are white, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
My house, it is, my son is obsessed with his flying remote control plane.
Now, is this over the little tiny mini bike that goes 60 miles an hour that he got as well?
Well, the mini bike is, he still has not ridden it yet because it's still in a non-operational state.
Oh, is it? I thought we started it.
It's been started and exhaust has been added and things like that, but... it still is probably going to be christened this weekend, I do believe. It's going to be in a ready state to be able to do it.
Pat Strama's joined us as well, so shout out to you.
But for him, it's actually, he's really gotten into understanding the physics of flight with his remote control plane.
So has he upgraded to a new not so starter edition of
he's been
RC plane?
Hoping and holding out for a birthday party. Because his birthday is actually on Christmas Day, but his friends are having a birthday party this weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah?
And he's hoping that he gets some gift cards from that to be able to top up his funds to be able to buy the next edition of the plane that is more advanced. So we'll see how he
does.
But he's spending his own money.
See, that's
on
the
something
best
that
thing.
They like.
Yeah,
right?
That's the best thing, right? Because, I mean, you know, it's great. I mean, they got a lot of cool gifts, you know, a lot of the Minecraft-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. But, you know, when they really want something and you just go, well, the dishwasher needs to be emptied, the garbage needs to go out, lawn needs to be kept up, right? Go clean
somebody
up after the
dog.
Clean
my bathroom, come on.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. That's a great way to do it. So, all right. Well, we've got 5 minutes left to the show, so we might as well do a shout out and ask for folks to give us the name of the show in 2 weeks' time.
Work safe.
Is that a fortnight?
A fortnight. Work safe words must be words that are single words, not composite words. This one was regifted Elvis fruitcake.
That's just a frightening concept.
It is. I would assume that regifted Elvis fruitcake would have to involve dill pickles and peanut butter in some way, shape, or form.
I want nothing to do with a regifted Elvis fruitcake.
Yeah.
Okay. Replication is one. MKE077.
Nice.
Kyle Beckman. Hashtag go Hawks. We'll use that one as the other one. And we need one third one. Replication, hashtag go Hawks. And no, we're not going to put up with it because MKE077 got his in early. So we're not going to use the third one. I know is coming in the chat room. One more.
Seriously.
Come on, guys. The show's only so long.
I think we only really have like 3 active participants in the chat room.
I think you're right. Jay Shock says pancakes.
There you go.
All right, that's it. It's the Replication Go Hawks Pancakes show. Sorry, Angry John, you missed it, Turtle. You put in Turtle. We'll save you. Angry John, you can come back in 2 weeks' time and let us know.
So we don't have any update on the new build of the new studio at all as of yet. So,
there's also been some activity going on with the other studios having to move, so I think we may be pushed back a little bit, but
all we want is a bomb-proof bunker, internet connectivity, and some kind of audio broadcast.
You guys are making
capabilities.
Me hungry there. There's, you know? There's waffles, French toast, waffles, and fried chicken.
Mm.
That was a turtle.
Remember that in Houston?
I don't eat turtle, just saying.
Waffles and fried chicken we did in Houston?
Yes. And there's actually a great one right here.
And I had the catfish for breakfast.
Yes.
And you had the waffles.
And the catfish was good.
It was not bad.
I shared the waffles and fried chicken. You had some.
I had a little bit. It was good.
Are we 3D printing waffles and fried chicken? Not a good idea. Just saying, the flavors don't really come through. Just saying. Waffles and fried turtle. No, Angry John. See, this is the last time I'm just going to read the chat room and try to speak at the same time. It just doesn't work. What? Sean Lowe says, that reminds me, there is a Chef Series 3D printer now.
Yeah,
you can print candy?
You totally.
What is this?
It prints with sugar. Sugar and chocolate and stuff like that.
Well, but then how do you get, like, what if you don't want to do it sweet? What if you want to do savory?
Well, then you put in some kind of a savvy mixture. I don't know. But they definitely have 3D printers for food. And what I think is hilarious is that they actually have 3D printers available in Home Depot. Home Depot sells 3D printers now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
That is awesome.
I just thought it was like, you know, it's hit mainstream when Home Depot's carried it.
Is it so that you can, you know, kind of print off your own, like, washers and stuff or
no
something?
No idea. You could. You could basically print almost anything.
That's interesting. A topic for the next show.
You know.
Because the band is here now.
Oh, they're starting up.
Yeah, they're fired up and they're ready to go. Hey, Happy New Year, everybody, and thanks for joining us on this new year edition of the Patch and Switch show. We'll shout out to the folks in the chat room. MKE077.
Go Hawks.
Angry John, Esposito, Jim, XPEI Dude, Jay Shock, Kyle Beckman, Mr. Bender, who's brewing this weekend. Good luck on that. Pat Strama, who joined us late, but better late than never. Sean Lowe, TJZ, and it is actually spelled C-E-D-D.
Yeah.
And Vizio MVP. Pat asked if I'm posting a new New Year's Eve mix. I don't know. We'll see if we can get there. I did do a show over New Year's. You can go back and listen to it. Anyway, thanks everyone for joining us. It's been a blast. It's been a riot. Until 2 weeks' time, have a weekend, everybody.